This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Sports Bettors Paradise on the Bet Rivers Network.
All right, Jimmy Ott and Paul Stone, it's championship week. It's March. Yes, indeed. Let's get right into it because unlike, in comparison, rather, to March Madness, where you got 16, 16, 8, and 8, got more games in championship week. So more conferences in play. Let's get right to it, Paul. Let's look at the Wednesday slate first. And that's Abilene Christian and Stephen F. Austin. Stephen F. Austin is projected as a three-point favorite. This is in your neck of the woods here.
Yeah, this game actually in the Western Athletic Conference tournament there, and one of the many tournaments there in Las Vegas. But Abilene Christian, before this past Saturday, the Wildcats had won and covered their last seven games. They did lose their regular season finale at home to Utah Valley, 74-67, as a 2.5-point home favorite. But I like the trajectory of this Abilene Christian team, how well they have played the last several weeks. Abilene Christian and Stephen F. Austin, the two combatants in this game on Wednesday, they split the season series in both games, were total nail biters. ACU, Abilene Christian won by 1 point at Stephen F. Austin. And then the Lumberjacks, they won in overtime at Abilene Christian. So two tight games. The teams won on the opposing team's home court. I'm going to call for another tight one. I think we're going to get three here. I would take up to plus two, but Abilene Christian plus the points over Stephen F. Austin.
Okay, as low as plus two in that one. We'll stay in the Wednesday slate before we get to Thursday and some of the conference picks, maybe to win the title. But the big game, yes, indeed, Cal Stanford. So before they head to the ACC and get those frequent flyer miles, well, this is a rematch of the last game. And just last Thursday, Stanford whooped up on Cal in Palo Alto, 80-58. We're projecting this line to be Stanford 1.5. You're looking for a little bounce back here for the Bears.
I am, and I projected at 1.5. I'd obviously love to get two or more, but I think Stanford's going to be a small favorite. And as you indicated, Cal doesn't exactly come to Las Vegas on a high note. They've lost their final three regular season games by an average of 20.3 points per game. So they really limp in. As you mentioned, the three-game slide by Cal includes that 22-point loss in Palo Alto to this same Stanford team this past Saturday, March 9th. Stanford's win over Cal. Stanford hadn't been playing very well either until Cal came to town on Saturday. The Cardinals had lost six games in a row, all by double digits. They did obviously jump all over Cal, their rival, on Saturday. This is a first-round game there in Vegas, matching rivals who are, not playing very well. I still kind of like this Cal team. I hope I'm not too infatuated with them, but I like their individual pieces. I think they're going to bounce back. I think Cal is going to beat Stanford on Wednesday in Vegas.
All right, let's stay in Vegas in the Pac-12, and a game that I'm looking at, and a team that I'm looking at, and that's the USC Trojans. Major disappointing season for Andy Enfield's crew. They regularly in the tournament, but they had some injuries. And, man, they're healthy again, and they're playing great. Look at their last seven games, okay? They win five of the seven, including wins against Utah, UCLA, at Washington, Arizona State, and Arizona by double digits. And then the losses against Colorado, I'm still trying to figure out. I had Colorado in that game. I'm still trying to figure out how I won that bet. I mean, that was a loser there. But they got it done. The other one was at Pullman against Washington State. Well, Washington State hit, all kinds of threes at the end to pull that one out. They've had seven really good showings in a row, and they've got something going right now. So projected line to be +2. Now to win the Pac-12 is only 7-1 at BetRivers. So that's a little short for me, especially looking at a second round matchup, a rematch against Arizona in Las Vegas. But I like USC +2 against Washington here. I know, Paul, you've noticed also, even though it's not one of your picks, you've noticed USC surge as of late, their improved play.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned it. They had injury problems down the stretch the last couple of months. One of those injuries being their highly touted true freshman point guard, Isaiah Collier. They seem to be healthy now. They're certainly playing at a higher level. And I'm with you there. I mean, I like USC plus the points. And they're certainly a team in these conference tournaments that seems like one of those that has the potential to perhaps, you know, advance all the way to the semifinals, maybe even the championship game. They could be a surprise team come the weekend.
And another game on this is in Kansas City in the Big 12. And you know a little bit about them Hook'em Horns, yes, indeed. And I'm still trying to get over that Baylor game. They were playing at such a high level. Dessou goes down, and they just crumble when Dessou comes down. I don't know how. A sprained ligament in the knee, and he still comes back, and he looked good on Saturday. And I think his presence was one of the big reasons that they cruised to a 94-80 victory over Oklahoma. I just love the way this team's playing right now. They rolled at Texas Tech, where that place was on fire. That was a tough place to win. They win by double digits. And they were going to win that Baylor game had he not gone down. I truly believe that. But they didn't. But I just think this team's got it. And they have shown that they can win on the road at Waco, at Norman, at Lubbock, and in position. In Waco to do it. I just like this team and think they got a shot. +2,800 to win the Big 12 tournament. I wonder about the motivation for Houston. They're one seed lock, no matter if they lose their first one in this tournament. But Texas -5 in this game on Wednesday, and I'm also willing to take a shot in the Big 12 tournament at +2,800. Your Horns, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Dylan Dessou. Obviously, when he's healthy, this time last year, backtracking, I guess, first of all, you know, he carried the Longhorns. Got injured there in the tournament, I think in the Elite Eight game, or the game before, actually, the Sweet 16 game. But they got to the Elite Eight and had Miami on the ropes and appeared to be headed for the Final Four there in Houston, but blew the lead. The Hurricanes came back. But Dylan Dessou, when he's healthy, he's one of the very best players in the Big 12. And I'll tell you another guy whose play is going to be really critical to what the Longhorns do in the postseason, and that's three-point specialist Max Ademus. When that guy is shooting, when his game is on, he's a marksman. So he can really give them a spark. The Longhorns, to me, and there's a lot of teams that fall in this category, Jimmy, but they are a Jekyll and Hyde. You know, when they're playing well, yeah. Man, you think this team could maybe make the Final Four. They could, you know, certainly make the Sweet 16. They look really good. And then other times they just seem to come out and, kind of lay an egg. The one thing I'm a little bit concerned about in their opener against Kansas State is the fact that Kansas State is pretty clear if they win this game, it's maybe not only going to enhance their NCAA tournament hopes, but maybe propel them into the tournament. So Kansas State perhaps has a little bit more to play for, but this Texas team, they certainly, they're going to get a lot of people's attention and a lot of people are going to, ride with the Longhorns, and we'll see how it turns out for them.
Yeah, and look, Dessou just provides a balance, that a much-needed balance in Texas' roster. And you talk about Ames, who's already performed at a high level in March with Oral Roberts, getting him to the Sweet 16. But, it improves the quality of their shots when you've got that inside presence, that balance on that end as well. And, you know, K-State got a win, huh? I mean, you know, okay, motivation or pressure, depending on your perspective. So we'll see. And I think I'll get a little cheaper line in Kansas City because of it. All right, let's go to Thursday's card. Let's go to the Big Ten. And the best team against the spread this year has kind of come back to earth a little bit, and that's the Minnesota Golden Gophers. They're taking on Michigan State. How is Michigan State at a top 25 NET? Top 20 KenPom. They keep losing, and they lose it to teams that are not in the tournament. So Minnesota plus 6 in this Thursday Big Ten matchup against Michigan State and Tom Izzo.
Yeah, neither of these teams, Jimmy, comes into the Big Ten tournament on a high note. As you mentioned, both Minnesota and Michigan State have lost 4 of their past 5 games. Minnesota pretty much, by that late season swoon, lost any hope of gaining an at-large bid. I would think they probably have to, win the Big Ten tournament to get into the big dance. But they've certainly, the Gophers, have flashed glimpses of what they can be, at various points this season. They split the regular season series with Michigan State, 1-3 on their home floor there in Minneapolis, lost by 10 at Michigan State, but important to note that the game in East Lansing, it was actually tied with 4 minutes to go. So they were very competitive against Sparty in both previous meetings. I think the Gophers obviously have their backs to the wall. They're going to fire their best shot on Thursday in this Big Ten opener against Michigan State. I project the line to be about 6. I'll take up to 5 points with Minnesota over Michigan State.
Michigan State, just a reputation of branding. I mean, they've been dealing with inflated numbers a lot this year. So they have failed to cover the spread a lot coming down the stretch. Home losses, too, to Iowa I'm drawing a blank right now. But, I mean, just and then Indiana falling so far behind in that game this past Sunday. All right, let's go to Conference USA. Huntsville, Alabama, the host site for this one. A 4-5 matchup between Liberty and Texas El Paso. We're projecting a line as the number 4 seed, Liberty minus 2.5.
Yeah, it's fair to say, Jimmy, that Liberty's been a considerable disappointment this season after being picked to win Conference USA along with Middle Tennessee in the preseason media poll. But the Flames, they obviously never challenged for the conference crown. They finished 7-9 in league play, which ironically was the same league record as their co-favorite, Middle Tennessee. Liberty, as you might expect, they've fallen short of the public's expectations at the betting window as well. They're only 4-13 against the spread since December 30th. As a single-digit favorite in their last 10 games in that role, only 1-9 against the spread. UTEP won at Liberty 67-51 on March 2nd as a 9-point road underdog. They enter the conference tournament, does UTEP on a 3-game winning streak, so they're playing better than Liberty. I think they're going to get 2.5 points, but I'll take even 1 probably. I think UTEP's going to win this game. I think they're going to beat Liberty there in Huntsville on Thursday.
All right. A couple of games that I'm looking at Thursday. And look, everybody knows the storylines in this one, okay? Rick Pitino, got his team playing good. They should be in with a 29 NET right now. Unorthodox motivational angle where it just slams the physical limitations of his roster. But somehow they've responded. And this is the game where he had the meltdown, when they had that 19-point lead against Seton Hall. So St. John's were projected a line at minus 5, even though Seton Hall is there. They've got stuff to play for as well. Both teams still not completely safe in this one, but I like St. John's. Let's face it. I mean, Pitino's a great coach, and I like them at this spot and look for them to maintain that lead when they build it this time. Any thoughts on St. John's at Seton Hall on Thursday?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I think the motivational edge is twofold for St. John's. First of all, they need a win. I think all the pundits who keep up with the bracketology have made it clear St. John's needs a win to get into the tournament. And they need to beat Seton Hall, so there's a lot of motivation there. They're playing on one of their home floors there at Madison Square Garden. And then I think the second point to note is the fact that Seton Hall was indeed the game that kind of turned around their season and got Coach Pitino in such a foul mood. So I think that won't be lost on the players. I think it'll be mentioned. They'll recognize the Pirates on the floor on Thursday. And I think you've got to expect, even though, like you said, it could be added pressure, the need to win. But I think you're going to get an A-plus effort from St. John's in this spot And I think the Giants maybe win by double digits here. I like them minus the points as well.
St. John's, I also think they're worth a shot at a plus 700 to win at Bet Rivers. Here's the thing. UConn did not win this tournament last year. How'd it work out for them? They cruise to six double-digit wins in hoisting the trophy. No Kolick for the Marquette, for Marquette there. Creighton, I mean, heck, they beat Creighton by double digits last time. We know, who could forget that all-white before Easter outfit for Rick Pitino? And they should have beat them in Omaha, where they they gave up a second chance bucket, game-winning bucket for the Creighton Blue Jays. So I think St. John's worth a shot to win the Big East tournament on their home floor at MSG. Also, the Big Ten, and you never know how teams are going to respond with a coaching change. I think it's been a pretty big difference for the Ohio State Buckeyes. They're playing Iowa on Thursday. They're projecting this game as a pick 'em. Iowa, one of the more efficient teams offensively, just started the game with a scoring drought, dug themselves a 21-point hole that they just could not get out of against Illinois on Sunday night. This is in Minneapolis at the Target Center. This thing is at a pick. Ohio State here in this pick and also through the tournament at plus 2,200 to win the Big Ten tournament. I think they're live as well. So, and same thing. Hey, Purdue won the Big Ten tournament. How'd that work out for them last year? Not saying that you're going to say, hey, look, guys, let's go out there to lose, but there's just de-emphasizing that you can put on this stuff. Ohio State, they won 4 or 5 in the, they've looked 5 or 6 now and looked pretty good. They're a different team, Paul, right now.
Yeah, I mean, ever since the coaching change, they have been a different team. They are playing at a high level, and this Iowa team, you just never know. They're so offensive, relying on that offense and the shooting and the outside shots. So you never know really what you're going to get with the Hawkeyes. Ohio State has been extremely efficient in these past 5 or 6 games. So I don't have a strong opinion either way. I would probably, if forced, I'd probably go with Ohio State just because I see a little more of a consistent performance there with the Buckeyes.
They have won 5 of 6, including that win against Purdue to start it off, and they were the other team besides Iowa to beat Michigan State at East Lansing in those back-to-back losses for Sparty at home. Other choices to win their conferences. Kentucky is plus 350 at the SEC. No argument there with the Kentucky Wildcats. How about their road wins at Auburn, at Starkville, at Gainesville, and Knoxville? I mean, they have really put together. And when they have all of these wins on the road, guess what? They have won the whole thing 3 previous times. The Cats are hot. We know they're talented.
Yeah, we've seen the really good and the not so good from the Wildcats this season. It was more than 3 months ago, and that's a long time ago. It was back on December 2nd. They lost to NC Wilmington by seven on their home floor as an 18.5-point home favorite. And then they lost more recently on February 21st. They lost on their home floor to LSU. But as you mentioned, when I look at teams that I think are capable are live to make a run during the conference tournament or the NCAA tournament, I want to know, how do they play away from the friendly confines? How do they play away from their home court? And you mentioned it. They've been the betting underdog on the road 3 times in the past month. You mentioned those 3 games. They were getting 9 at Auburn back on February 17th. They won by double digits. They were getting 5 in Starkville, beat the Bulldogs by a deuce. And then the exclamation point came this past Saturday. They stroll into Thomas Bowling Arena in Knoxville, Tennessee, knock off Tennessee. It was a statement win in my mind. Won that game 85-81 as an 8.5-point road underdog. Tennessee remains a likely number 1 seed. So what a big road win for the Wildcats. Kentucky, they're not an outstanding defensive team. No secret there. But they have shown glimpses at times of being improved on that side of the court. Offense, clearly a different matter for the Wildcats. They are one of the more prolific teams in all of college basketball. They've got 5 double-digit scorers averaging in double digits. They've got another, Justin Edwards, who averages 9 points a game, and he came up big against Tennessee with 16 points. And then I would be remiss if I didn't mention the development of their true freshman guard, Reed Shepard. a local talent who they've been recruiting for many years. But he came up with 27 points against Tennessee on the road. And then just a few games before that against Mississippi State, he had 32. So this is a true freshman, again, on the road. He comes up with 27 this past Saturday at Tennessee, 32 at Mississippi State. He just screams of a guy who can come up big in the tournament. I like Kentucky not only in the SEC tournament there in Nashville, but I like them in the NCAA tournament as well.
You know, that game in Starkville, I called it the highest level game in the SEC this year. And, you know, he had that career high 32 and also the game winner, you know, the runner in the paint to break the tie in that one. And, you know, we all like to use KenPom as a reference sometimes, but KenPom rankings, Kentucky 17, Michigan State 19. They're not that close. they just aren't that close, no doubt about that. And a perfect segue, and you talking about teams that can win away from home. That's one of my picks in the ACC. That's Clemson. Clemson has won at Chapel Hill. They won in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which is tough to do. They have, they got robbed, you know, at the end of the game at Cameron. You know, they give up two free throws to Duke to lose that one. They have done a really good job on the road this year. 10-1, I think, is worth a swipe. And especially after Duke and North Carolina, a little bit of anticlimactic after their big rivalry game this past weekend in Cameron. There's another one that you're looking at, Paul. I gave an opinion on the Texas Longhorns in the Big 12. You're looking at another shot in the Big 12. Baylor Bears are at 7-1 right now at Bet Rivers.
Yeah, I think that's a fair price on this Baylor team. And as one of the top four seeds in the Big 12 tournament, they get a bye into the quarterfinals. And in the quarterfinals, they could draw Kansas. And this is a Kansas team. Bill Self announced earlier this week that their top two players are not going to play in the Big 12 tournament. So they're going to be without their top scorer, guard Kevin McCullough Jr., averages 18 points a game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, an all-around player. And then they're going to be without their inside presence, Hunter Dickinson, the guy who averages 18 points a game, 11 rebounds, 1.5 blocks a game. So their top two players are not going to be available. So Baylor's got a real good path or a probable path to the semifinals. Baylor did lose their regular season finale in Lubbock by 10 to Texas Tech. But I still think this Baylor team could make some noise, much like Kentucky, not only in their conference tournament, but in the big dance as well. One reason I like Baylor is the development of their 7-foot freshman center from Cameroon, Missy. He's averaging 11 points a game, 5.6 rebounds, 1.5 blocks. And this guy, he's just going to be phenomenal when he gets a little polish on his game, gets a little more experience. Very athletic, very much a run and jump big man. But he's a player, a star in the making. And then they've got 6'9 senior Jalen Bridges, who began his collegiate career at West Virginia. In that Texas game Monday a week ago there in Waco, Bridges kind of showed what he can be offensively. He scored 32 points against the Longhorns, pretty much responsible for Baylor's victory over Texas. So I like this Baylor team. I think Baylor might sneak into Kansas City and win that Big 12 tournament. So I like Baylor in the Big 12 and NCAA tournaments.
I think Bridges has a beautiful shooting stroke. I mean, he really can stroke it. I mean, just beautiful to watch. The other thing about them is the interesting thing, and Scott Drew, who loves the zone, but in that national championship run when they blew out Gonzaga in the final, they played a lot less zone that year. If you watch him this year, he's kind of going back and forth, feeling it out, so to speak. They sure do seem a lot better when they play man-to-man. So we know they're athletic. We know their length. I mean, he recruits that roster. I mean, that's not by accident that he has all that length. And usually he likes that length in his zone. But, man, don't give up all that athleticism as well on the defensive end and play a little man as well. Championship week, it's a lot of fun. Don't forget to Bet Rivers, all of the action. And I'm going to just tell you again, that half a point only costs you 8 to 10%. Buying that half a point on those low numbers from a half point to whole, they are paying off. That's the cheapest you're going to get it anywhere in the industry at Bet Rivers. Paul and I will be back next week looking at March Madness matchups. For Paul Stone, I'm Jimmy Ott here in the Sports Bettors Paradise on the Bet Rivers Network.